irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the D.D. Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. I am T.D. Jackson, and with me, I have my brother, Terrell Jackson.
How's it going?
How you doing, Terrell?
I'm good. You?
I'm great, man. We also have one more family member. It's not Todd Jackson. It's none other than Royal Jackson. What's going on, Ro?
Nothing much.
Nothing much?
Good.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. So we are live on the Power of Love Show. If you're listening to us right now, thanks for joining us. We are going to open up immediately the phone lines. Twitter. Who's going to handle the Twitter without Todd? Actually, he does have some importance. You know, you don't realize what you got until it's gone. Without Todd being here sitting, I'm realizing we need someone to check the Twitter. I will look at Twitter.
Yeah, I'll help out a little too.
So go ahead and tweet us. If you don't want to make a phone call, but if you have a comment, a quote, pretty much anything that relates to topic and you want to contribute that way, you can go ahead and tweet us at DDJ Foundation. Again, that's at DDJ Foundation. If you want to make a phone call in and contribute that way, the phone number is 323-203-0815. Now, disclaimer, we are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not just rely on us. Terrell, before we go into topic today, what's going on, man? Tell us about your week. How you doing?
I'm well. We were in France.
Yes.
You, me, and Taj.
Yeah. How was that?
That was good. We did some promotion for our single Fire and our album Chapter 3. And also promoted our show on September 1st. And it's been a while since we've been in France, so... it was nice to be back.
It was great.
It was great to see everyone. And beautiful place. Beautiful city.
You know what's so cool to me is, I don't know if it's age, I don't know if it's just time, but when I go to Europe, I'm realizing more and more how amazing and beautiful it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree.
This trip I got to, you know, go to the parks and read a lot, and it was just magic. It was just so amazing. So I already miss it.
Yeah, it was a quick trip, but it was a good one. And looking forward to going back.
Yeah, most of our listeners know, but on September 1st, we're going to be in Paris at La Cigale.
For
Why are you laughing?
Because I just said that, but go ahead. I didn't say La Cigale.
Oh, okay. But you talked about the show.
Yeah, I think you were fixing your mic, but it's okay.
Okay. Sorry about that, listeners.
Yeah, so that there it is.
Okay. Royal, how was your week, man, as you're trying to mess with your mic? How was your week?
It was good. Graduated high school, so it's always a good feeling.
Always a good
That's
feeling?
That's great, bro.
Yeah, congratulations, man.
Anything new? How you feel?
You feel any older? By the way, that was my fault. The mic was off, but Royal said that he graduated high school, and it was good. You feel any older? You feel more? You motivated? Where are you at mentally?
Yeah, I feel old.
You feel old?
Yeah, I know I just graduated, but I look at before the show, I see these Notre Dame, probably juniors, walking to their cars and stuff, and be like, oh, it's high schoolers.
So you can't relate to him anymore now?
Nah, I mean I can, but it's just like
you're past.
You know,
it.
I won't ever be there. It's weird because high school kind of feels like you've been there your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, I mean, that's where the most growing and the most friend connections happen. So
I understand what you're saying. Now that when you see someone at high school, it's like they're younger than you, and it's a phase, it's a stage that you're past.
Yeah.
I get that.
It's like being a freshman and looking at middle schoolers. It's just like, ah, you guys are as a little kid.
Yeah. Well, the fun begins now.
Well, yeah. So, well, yeah, Royals graduated high school, which is, congratulations, son. It's a huge deal. As you know, I'm big on my education, so I'm really proud of you. As for me, same old. Same thing that Terrell said. It was all about France, and it was a good year, week, and that's it. Took the kids to Disney yesterday, which is always fun.
How was that?
It was always fun. Disney's a magical place.
The weather was good?
Weather was great. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. It was just fun. It was good. But let's get right into it, Terrell. Let's get into our topic. Do you want to just go ahead? You want me to just kind of describe it? Do you want
to
talk about it?
You can.
All right. Well, Terrell found this topic, and I think it's a great topic. It's basically about fear and the role fear plays in our lives. And I believe that fear kind of is that huge block in many of our lives. And I say ours because it's just not... It applies to everyone, really. It's just to what degree does it apply to you. And we wanted to discuss it. It's a topic that we don't talk about too much, I don't think. Right, Terrell?
Yeah, it's definitely something that everybody can relate to. And I think everybody deals with it. It's just some are more open to it. They're more admitting to it. Mm-hmm. And some are more active about it and going on the path of correcting their fears. Some are stuck and stay in their fear. And I thought it would just be a good idea to talk about it because the world, the things that are happening in our world so often, it can change. It could change the way you live. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be afraid to go out and, you know, whether it go to a concert, or you can be afraid to let your child go have a play date. It's just all kinds of things going on in the world, and if you're not careful, you can get stuck in living in a life of fear.
Yeah, and like you said, it seems to hit all of our lives, like all perspectives mm-hmm. of it, and it's one of those things that I think we're not taught how to handle it and how to deal with it, and society is quick to blame, you know, or brandish someone who has fear as a wuss or as a sissy,
yes, yes.
as less than human.
Mm-hmm.
But fear is in all of us, and I think it's so important that in order to take hold of your life, that you understand how to manage and deal with fear. But before we could discuss, maybe on another show, how to handle and deal with fear, I think we got to talk about when you know that fear is running your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what today's show is about. We're going to go with 10 signs that fear is running your life and how to get back on track. Should we just go jump straight into it?
Okay.
Yeah. So number one, how do you know fear is running your life and how to get back on track? Number one, you find yourself striving in vain for an impossible to achieve standard of perfection. I gotta say, truthfully, honestly, authentically, this is something that had me for a while, and still I think to an extent does. I think this is when people say, what's it like growing up, you know, in the Jackson family, or I think this is something that applies to that, because we were always kind of raised, taught, you know, strive for the best, and I think back then it was just strive for perfection, be the best, mm-hmm. you know, and hit the, pay attention to details and make sure everything's perfect. Where now I think the terminology and the lingo is do your best. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the phrase has changed, which has made it easier. But we grew up with
trying
to be perfect. And it's still something and I'm sure you do too, Terrell. But
and actually, I should correct that. I don't know if it's saying trying to be perfect is the right way to say it. I think whatever we were working on tried to make that the best it can be.
Yeah. Yeah,
because no one's perfect, and I don't think we grew up being told you have to be perfect.
We weren't told you have to be perfect, but I think we were taught to strive for perfection and to
be as close to it as possible.
Don't let any stone unturned.
Yes,
pay attention to every detail, even if it's that much there. Fix it.
Try to get 9.9 out of 10.
Yes, where I think that, you know, I understand the concept, and it is a really important mentality to, so that you're constantly growing and to achieve great things, but there's a price for it.
Yes.
And I think this first topic, you find yourself striving in vain for an impossible to achieve standard of perfection. It can rear its ugly head in regular life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I can say that I used to deal with a bit, and I think in time I've learned how to deal with it. And Taj has always said that, you know, Taj is kind of the one that's been not had this issue, and it's kind of like, I'm not doing that, man. I'm not.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So, Ro, do you have anything for that?
Not really, no.
No? Okay.
As soon as something's like really good, I kind of just like leave it alone.
See, but then what do you do as a mentor or a parent or a colleague? Is that the right perspective you want to teach? You want to say, if it's good enough, just keep going?
Yeah, it's hard.
You know, it depends what it is, I think. You know,
and I think it's changed for me, because it's like, even looking back at performances, you almost ignore all the good things, and you just the negative is what points out to you because you want to correct it.
And that's not healthy.
It's not healthy.
Because then you're living life with critical yes. eyes and not able to enjoy it.
Yes, very true.
Okay, so we went over the first one out of the 10 signs fears running your life. There's a second one that I think goes right hand in hand with this, and that's that you settle. And for those international listeners, settling as in, it's good enough, let's just get it going. When you're afraid to take risks and go for what you really want, you convince yourself that your less than juicy life, your relationship, your jobs, the dismal state of Mother Gaia, I think is as good as it gets. I guess Mother Gaia is a term, I don't know. When fear runs the show, you forget how to dream. You compromise in the name of being realistic. But settling isn't realism. It's a devastating symptom of the fear that what you hope is possible really isn't. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Explain it, Joe.
So basically, when you're afraid, you don't go for it. You just accept the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going for the better. You're not striving for the best, or you're afraid to take those risks and chances. And basically the way I read it is when you're doing that, you're basically telling yourself that you're not good enough to succeed in that era, in that place. That makes sense?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
So that's how I heard that. That's okay. how I see that.
Okay. So I should have said,
and this. I can relate to that too.
You can.
I can. Yeah. Fear is deep.
Fear is real.
Fear is deep. And there's been situations where I've settled, you know, because of fear. And that's something I've been working on and correcting. And I think it's important for people to acknowledge and to pay attention to their fears and not just brush them under the rug. You know, the only way you're going to improve yourself is by admitting these things and working on them. So that, like, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, we had the dinner, and that was me settling on, you know, the very first thing I said was just very short, and I settled with that. And
because of fear.
Because of my fear of speaking in front of the whole room, you know, and I knew I can do better, and I wanted to do better, but I was afraid to. And then I corrected myself, and that's when I went up the second time and made my speech for my friend David.
Very well said. Yeah, completely. And before we get into number three, we should have said this before, but if any of our listeners have any incidents of fear and how they went through it, even how they went through it, or if they think it's, you know, controlling their lives, don't be afraid to reach out to us, call us, tweet, so that we can share your story. Like we always say, this is a community, and we want to make sure everyone's involved, and interaction makes the show best.
Yes. No, I wanted to also point out that this list is by Dr. Lisa Rankin.
Cool. Yeah.
I don't know if I said that right.
Sounded good.
Okay.
She's not here to correct you. So.
Yeah. But this is her list.
One thing I want to talk about before we get into topic or number three is how, what's the relationship you have with brave versus fear? I'm going to start to give you that question, Royal. Bravery versus fear. What's the relation to it?
Okay. Polar opposites.
So you see, if someone is saddled with fear, they're not brave. And if someone is really brave, they don't have fear.
I think bravery is you can have fear, but I think if you still challenge yourself and go with it, that makes you brave.
Very well said. You passed the test. Because I think most... Yes, very well said.
You didn't think you were getting any more tests?
No, he always get tests.
I know.
That's the parts. But he hit it right on the head, because I think most people see bravery. If you're brave, you don't have fear.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case, because everyone has fear.
Yeah.
Bravery is just the ability to get through your fear.
Or even to challenge your fear.
To challenge your fear. So... great quote, which is why I presented the question that I'm seeing is, here's the quote: being brave isn't the absence of fear. Being brave is having that fear but finding a way through it. And that is by Bear Grylls. Royal smiling like he's the doctor and he's the captain of the ship. So, but very well done. Very, very well said, son. Very, very well said. His smile—the biggest smile I've seen in a month. So, but I think you're 100% right. Most people wouldn't say that. I think that the mentality is that if I'm brave, that means I don't experience fear. We all experience fear. Being brave is getting through that fear. Okay, so you guys want to take a phone call?
Sure,
let's take a phone call. Thank you for joining the Power of Love. Who's this on the line with us?
This is Alicia.
How you doing, Alicia?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good. What you got for us?
Well, this really hit home for me, especially this week. I had been trying to enter a writing contest, which deadline is actually the 1st, and the deadline came up for me so fast that I literally have maybe like 2 days to put it in and, you know,
To write it out and submit it?
Well, yeah, to edit it. Yeah, okay. Edit and submit it. And I think that part of it is that even though I really want to do it, it's a public forum and kind of scared to have other people
read and judge,
read it, especially because it's so personal. But at the same time, that's something that I really want to do and need to get the word out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think this is actually good topic for you. It's you're not alone, number one, in this, because so many of us experience this. I think the most important thing is you got to be comfortable with yourself and proud of yourself and not really care about what other people think. That's the most important thing. No one can judge you. You know your circumstances. You know your situation. If you have, you know, maybe a couple days to do it, you know, it could be your best work. Maybe it's not your best work. It doesn't matter. You know the situation. But the thing is you shouldn't allow that to be the reason why you don't try.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? And that's I think that comes on later in the list of not going forward with it because you're afraid. There's fear of the outcome, of the criticism, of the results, of the failure. So without going for it, you'll never succeed, or you'll never go through with it because mm-hmm. you're being stuck. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely does.
And one of our favorite authors growing up, Cheryl, who's one of our favorite collectively authors growing
There's
up?
There's a lot. There's Tony Robbins.
Okay.
Is that
Who
one?
No,
Napoleon
one.
Hill?
Napoleon Hill. Okay. There's a Napoleon Hill quote that's very powerful, and it's, fears are nothing more than a state of mind. And I think for you, Alicia, I think Cheryl gave you some very sound advice, and I would just, you know, just realize that it's in your mind, and it is what it is. If it's great, great. If it's not, it's not. Just half of it is just doing it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you'll grow from it. You'll feel some sense of success and some sense of accomplishment, and you'll feel better about yourself by just doing it. Now, if you have so much going on in your life where you can't get to it, that's a different thing. But if you have the time and you have the desire to do something, do not let fear stop you. Another great quote, who I don't know who said it, is this: fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. So, if you, don't let failure be the reason why you lose. Or don't let fear be the reason why you lose. That's what I meant to say. Mm-hmm. Don't let fear be the reason why you lose. You first got to enter the game.
You have to try.
You got to try. And there's been many things that I've done. Fear, where I was worried. I didn't know if I would do well at this or not. And some things I lost. Some things I win. Some things I lost. But, you know, you feel good about yourself by just doing it. So whatever we can do to support you, just know we're here. And you do you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I really needed to hear that.
Yeah. No, don't worry about it. You know, and you got to do this for you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Don't do it for the judges. Don't do it for anyone reading. Do it for you and your family. When we make our music, we do it for us, our family, and our fans. We don't do it for any critics. We don't do it for any of the haters out there. That's not who we're spending in hours and hours and hours in the studio for. And I'm not laboring on should it be this word or this word. And Terrell knows exactly how those choices come. We are not thinking about haters and media.
Because at that point, it doesn't even matter what you write. You can write something perfect. You can write something horrible. Either way, they're going to look at it and just tear it apart.
You do it for, I mean, when we used to do our music, it was for our mother and our uncles and our father and our grandmother. And then now we can add our fans to it, you know. So that's who you do your stuff for, is the people that love you and embrace you and respect you. So, okay?
Okay.
All right, Alicia. Thanks for calling in. And take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
Good luck.
You too.
Bye-bye. So,
that's great.
That's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do one more phone call. The lines are blowing up, so we'll answer. Who do we have on the Power of Love show?
Hi, this is Maisha.
Hi, Maisha. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Good. What you got for us?
Well, I just first want to make my greetings. Hi, Terrell.
Hi, how are you? I like that.
She's
hi, Royal.
Hi.
She's going around.
Sweet.
Like that.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Very sweet.
It's been a long time since I've been able to call in, so it's so weird that you would have this topic because I was thinking of this today.
Mm.
And I have a couple of fears, a personal and a professional one. I'm looking into going into another area of nursing. I want to be a labor and delivery nurse. And I've been applying, but I have this fear that if I get into it, I'm going to be on the bottom end of the learning curve, and I'm going to have to learn this whole new area of nursing, and I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, unfortunately, so I don't want to... I want to be challenged, but I don't want to fail at the challenge, and I know that I probably won't, but... I'm also somewhat of an overthinker, so I overthink things and I think of all the things that could possibly go wrong, and so that's one of my challenges. And then I have this other challenge with I want to go on this vacation, and when I vacation, I always vacation with my children, but if you guys have vacationed with your kids, which I know you do, you know that it's kind of not really a vacation for yourself.
It's you're a trip.
Care of someone else.
It's a trip.
So I want to go on this vacation, and I want to go on this cruise, because I've always wanted to go on a cruise, but I'm afraid of going by myself. And then I start thinking about all the water, and I don't know how to swim, and what if this happens, and what if I get eaten by a shark? You know, just overthinking some stuff.
Yeah.
So I have a mission to face this and schedule this cruise, because I know that I can do it, and I know that if I get this job as a labor and delivery nurse, I know that I can do it. It's just overthinking and not really having full confidence in myself.
Yeah. So when you've had this situation in the past, how have you overcome it? Or have you not?
Just get in there and do it.
Just get in there and do it.
Jump in with both feet. Just get in there and do it. Yeah.
Right. So,
and you know, no matter what comes up, I just say, okay, I had a bad day, but I'm going to come back the next day, and this is what I'm going to do. So I always have a plan on how I'm going to conquer it and accomplish it.
I think again, I don't know your life. I don't know your situation. First of all, I can really relate to the vacation thing. Because once kids are involved, like Terrell said, it's now a trip.
That's got to turn that one.
So, and my first thing is, I think, and I'm not a female, so I understand there's an extra layer of fear. But I think you got to do stuff on your own often. And I used to read a books. I used to read books on solitude because I think when that happens, you kind of develop a sense of a stronger sense of identity and a stronger sense of confidence within yourself when you do more things alone. And I would challenge you to take a trip by yourself, and if you're not ready for by yourself, then with just another adult. So it's on. It's about you and where you're at, and not your kids. Not is this one fed or where is this one at now? It's not about that. As for your career situation, I think you got to do what you feel is going to make you happy. Look in the future 5-10 years, and what do you see yourself doing? And go full steam at that. Don't let anything stop you. Don't ever anything slow you down. Don't play the what if games, because like the previous quote, you know, we read was failure kills more dreams than failure ever will.
Fear.
Thank you, Ro. Fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. So you got to go for it, you know. And the last thing I want to say is yesterday I was at Disneyland, and you know, Dee Dee is 10, my daughter Dee Dee, and she's actually pretty good with rides. But we went on Splash Mountain, and you know, there's a ride that keeps going up, keeps going up, and it seems like it never stops going up before, you know, it's the big climb. And you know, you could see the fear in her eyes, you know. And but at the, you know, if I could pause time and say, how are you feeling right now? She's like, I don't want it. I could see the answer saying, I don't want to do this. I'm scared. But she didn't have a choice. The thing is moving, you know. And then once we went all the way down and splashed in the water, the smile on her face. And I'm sure a lot of it was the enjoyment of the ride. But I bet you a lot of it was the overcoming of that fear of being able to tackle something, you know. And I think I was thinking about that. I got a pretty good nod from my son. Why are you smiling, Ro?
Because I used to be, I mean, you know, I used to be terrified of roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
Now I go on all of them.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, the first loop I went on, and it was like, I wanted to go again because, like, I remember looking up at the ride and being like, I'm never going on that.
Yeah.
But now I want to go on it 3-4 times, and it's just, that's definitely what she was smiling at.
Yeah, and obviously roller coasters is, you know, it's a quicker result and everything's quick compared to a career, but I think it's the same principle. I think you got to go for it. It's your life, you know. As long as it's a legal thing and it's a healthy thing, you got to do it. You know, otherwise you're going to play the what if game, and that's another fear. That's an actual fear I have, is being,
you
know,
don't want to have
80 years old and saying, I should have done this.
Yep.
I should have done that. You know, why didn't I do this? I was too busy doing this and that. I don't want to do that. And I don't think you would either, Maisha. So my vote is you got to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the plan.
Yep, cool.
I know. I'm not going to let it stop me. I'm just, you know, stating that that's a fear that I have. I've been down this road before, so I know what the end result is going to be. And it's like when you're in it, you just have to go for it. You're already there. You can't turn back. So you just have to press forward.
Love it.
And I think
one confidence is on the other side of that fear.
Yeah. Yes. And I think one thing Taj would say if he were here, he would say a lot of it is also mindset. Instead of focusing on all the things that can go bad on the cruise or with your exams or whatever, think about all the positives that can come with it. Think about the great time you can have on the cruise and the experiences you can have, and think about all the great, you know, benefits of fulfilling the nursing situation as well. So,
and Maisha, the last thing I'll say is thank you for calling in and talk, because this is not easy. You did just say that you're doing it already, so but it still allows others to hear different scenarios of fear and let them know they're not alone. So it seems like you're already on track to tackle it even before calling, but just the fact that people can hear, of sharing it, people can hear someone do what they should be doing. So I appreciate the phone call.
Oh, can I say one more thing before
Absolutely.
You guys go?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to you guys' show since day one, and I just want to say that the growth that you guys have gone through has been remarkable. I can remember when Carol wouldn't hardly say anything, and now he sometimes hosts the show in your absence, so I think that's truly amazing. I just want to give you guys kudos for what you're doing. I think I can speak for the listeners when I say thank you, and we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to uplift and empower other people. I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Maisha. That means a lot. And Yeah, that's a good example, because our first one we were like, oh my gosh, we're live, and
right.
we've been on stage many times, but doing a hosting a radio show where there's dead, you know, the fear from silence.
It's a whole different arena.
It's a whole different thing.
But that's fear, and that you got to go for it. You know, like you said, I've improved, and I know I've improved. But that's one of my fears is public speaking. And I'm definitely not where I would want to be, and I know I'm not great at it, but I'm working on it, and I'm proud of myself for that. So,
yeah,
gotta go for
it. Great. You always want to work towards becoming the best version of yourself that you can be.
That's it.
That's it.
So kudos, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Maisha. What a great phone call.
Yeah, it was.
That's good. Okay, so our phone lines are blowing up, but we got to stay on this list, otherwise we won't finish in time. Okay, so we went through two of them. Top 10 signs fear is running your life. Number one, you find yourself striving for perfection. Number two, you settle. Number three, you say yes when you mean no. When you're afraid to disappoint people or get rejected, if you don't say yes, you'll fall into fear-based, people-pleasing, self-sacrificing behaviors that lead to resentment. But when fear is no longer running the show, you say no when it feels self-loving. As they say, no is a complete sentence. This doesn't mean you won't devote yourself to generosity and service. It means the service stems from a genuine love-based motivation rather than a fear-based one. So you want to discuss this?
No, I agree with that. You have to go for it. You can't settle. You have to do what you really want to do.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're going to have resentment. You're going to always have that what if, shoulda, woulda, coulda thing going. And you're always going to question, you know? So you just, if there's something that you want to do, and it's a lot easier said than done, but if there's something in your mind that you want to do or you would like to try to do, the best thing to do is just to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, don't get me wrong, it's really hard and it's really challenging, and you got fear in these things coming into play. But the best thing that you can do is just go for it and do it.
So, and in this particular incident, it's talking about when you're saying yes or agreeing to things or that you really don't want to do or shouldn't be doing. And it's hard to say no, but when you get practice doing it, it gets easier and easier to do, and you'll feel better about yourself. So if there's a lingering question out there or a lingering proposal or anything where you're feeling like you need to say yes just to please someone, if it's not really your kid or a family member and you're not helping them out, you got to say no, period. Right, Daryl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go to one more before we get back to phones. Number four, you say no when you mean yes. How was that? You say yes when you mean no was three. Four is you say no when you mean yes. Can you elaborate on this, Joe? You want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay, when you're afraid you're unlikely to take risk, you'll feel the yearning to start your own business, go out with a dream girl, take that bucket list trip, have a baby, take an art class, or go on a cruise like one of our previous callers. But you'll say no because you're afraid to fail. You're afraid to succeed. You're afraid to get rejected. You're afraid to stir things up. You're afraid to get thrown into the water. You're afraid to anything.
Take chance.
It's because we're afraid to get out of our comfort zone. So when you let fear cure you, you start letting your soul take the lead, taking leaps of faith, and saying yes when you yearn to. So when you let fear cure you. Mm-hmm. So you got to just go. It's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the same thing.
It's funny because I saw this. I saw this past week.
Talk to me.
On Kuwait. Is that how you say the show?
Kuwait.
Kuwait.
It was
the karaoke.
Okay.
And my brother. Okay, you want to say?
Yeah, because I want to set it up. This is a radio show in France that my brothers and I did. Live radio show in France, and they were doing Kuwait. The show's called, I don't know what the show's called, but the host is Kuwait. It's a very big show on Virgin Radio in France. And they were doing karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I've never done karaoke, right. But it's live and it's all 90s based theme. So we don't, and it's in a different language.
Right.
So you can't understand what they're saying, what they're doing, or anything. You're just going up there to sing. But go ahead.
But what I was going to say is you, me, and Taj, we know each other quite well, obviously. And we kind of know our comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And I remember when It was, I think it was Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I don't know how you felt, but when Taj said, I'll do it.
I was shocked.
I was shocked as well. And I thought that was another example of facing your fears and just going up there and doing it. That was, to me, I was really...
I think that's a good point because...
I didn't expect
basically
that.
Basically, the present, Kuwait asked if one of us will do Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney mm-hmm. Spears. For me, it wasn't that I was afraid.
There was another artist singing
there
it.
There was another artist singing yeah. with it. But that's just not a song I'm going to karaoke. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll do a Prince song. I'll do George Michael. I'll do Phil Collins.
Not that bad.
And I'll even try a Whitney song, you know. But I'm not going to do Hit Me Baby One More Time. I'm sorry. Just call it what it is.
But that's not the reason I was shocked. I was shocked because he went out of his comfort zone to go up. Prior to us, too.
That mm-hmm. was the very first one into it. So yeah. It was really impressive. So, all right. Let's take another phone call. Thanks for listening to the Power of Love show. Who do we have on the line with us?
Yeah, hello, guys. It's Toria. How are you doing?
Toria, hey. How are you?
Just missing you already.
Oh, Toria's out in France. We had such a good time, Toria. It was your country
yes,
was beautiful.
Yes, I know. It was so good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you as well.
What do you got for us, Toria?
Yeah, on topic, I just wanted to ask you a question. You know, I was wondering if... you know, with all the events happening, mm-hmm. I mean, all the terrorist attacks mm-hmm. everywhere in the world, I was wondering if it changed something for you.
Good question.
I mean, does it prevent you from doing shows in some places or does it slow you down from traveling in some places?
That's a good question. Actually, we went to a show, I think on Friday night. And that was something that entered my mind. We went to a show at La Cigale, which is where we're performing in September. And I was just mm-hmm. thinking, you know, the artist is so exposed up there. And it's so dark in the crowd. There's so many people. And, you know, in France, you guys have gun laws. But in the States, we don't. You know, so it just got me thinking about the fear that it would be to perform on stage with such a, you know, anyone. And in our situation... there's people that don't like us, but what do you do? You know, do you let that fear stop you from ever performing, or do you just go and do what, you know, what you love to do and what people want to see you do? And I said I would always go out there and perform and let life happen however it's supposed to happen. And obviously I don't expect or think anything will happen to me on stage, but it is a true fear, you know, and when that young woman was killed couple years ago mm-hmm. in Florida, I believe, by a gunman, it breaks your heart, you know. And but at the same time, you have to continue forward, and it's like a terrorist attack. You cannot stop doing your regular activities.
You have to keep living.
You have to keep living, you know. Otherwise, you're not living, you know. Was there anything you would want to add?
No, I agree. I agree 100%. I think it's natural. It's human to have thoughts. You know, those thoughts of traveling, you know, going on airplanes or just anything, going to a concert, going to a sporting event. I think because you see it, you know, that thought crosses your mind and you think about all the what ifs that could happen, things that can go wrong. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to discuss this today, because you can't let those things change what you want to do in life. You got to keep living. So that's my thoughts on it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, you know, I have lots of friends that don't go anymore to concerts mm-hmm. or to shows, or they don't go to big cities like Paris, for example, because they're just afraid. They're not living in the same anymore. But I think, you know, fear won't prevent things from happening. So
yeah,
we just have to be brave
you
and to carry on doing living naturally.
Yeah. And even when I left, Francis was like, please be careful and please be safe. And I was like, I will.
Because there's a big strike, too.
But yeah, but she was talking, I guess there was a knife attack in France a couple weeks ago. And it was all over the news. Yeah. And so she equates that with where we're going.
Yeah.
So she's scared. Yeah. But it's like, you know, you still got to live. You still got to do your thing. Yeah. And, you know, and I don't know. It's just tough. But you got to live. You got to live. You have to live. Thank you for the call.
I'm happy. It just doesn't stop you from coming to friends.
No, it can't. It can't. You gotta live and enjoy what the world is. You know.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Thank you so much, Gloria. Take care.
You too.
Okay, so let's get right back to Liz. This show is like flying, yeah, which is a good thing. It means we're connecting and getting a lot of phone calls. Okay, 10 signs fear is running your life and how to get back on track. Number 5, you numb yourself with alcohol, drugs, sex, television, or excessive busyness. Fear causes inner pain, a soul sickness that can show up as depression, anxiety, restlessness, helplessness, hopelessness, frustration, sadness, loneliness, and fatigue. In order to avoid this inner pain, you engage in addictions and other numbing behaviors. But this only puts a temporary band-aid on the pain while increasing feelings of low self-esteem that just increase the inner pain. This is something I like to think that I don't have too much of an issue with. I'm not big on alcohol, drugs. I'm not going to go through the rest of this. But I feel I can control myself and I'm not trying to hide anything. And you know, putting aside any type of thing, I don't feel like I numb myself. So I can't really personally speak on this, but I do know a lot of people who I feel are numbing themselves, and it is. So if you find yourself, you know, in pretty much an excessive behavior of one of these kind of things, it may be a sign that you are afraid of something or you're fearing something. Mm-hmm. You guys have anything else? You
want I agree. I think everybody numbs themselves to a certain extent. Some is a lot more dangerous than others. My mic does sound strange, but I think the thing is that you have to face your fears.
Yep.
You know, when it's all said and done, you have to face them. And, you know, some numbing can be healthy, you know, going like for us, you know, we put some of our energy into doing music and that's therapeutic. But the bottom line is if you don't face your fears, it's not going to go away or you're not going to be able to tackle it. So there's some numbing that's okay. But when you're getting into the drugs, into the alcohol, that can be very dangerous.
There you go.
You know.
All right. Number 6, you procrastinate. When you're afraid of putting yourself in the arena because of fear of failure, success, uncertainty, judgment, criticism. I'm not going to read the rest. But basically, when you face fear head on, motivation replaces procrastination. Procrastination is something I used to do a lot. I don't know how much of it was fear-based, maybe some of it for some things, but procrastination is a big symptom of being afraid of something.
I agree.
One of my favorite things that in this paragraph that it says is that when you face fear head-on, motivation replaces procrastination. Mm-hmm. So by doing it, you'll find some type of fulfillment and motivating force within yourself that is actually very, it feels good. And it will replace your procrastinating.
Yeah, I think it's because you gain control. You gain control and confidence of whatever it is, you know, that you're trying to achieve. And you realize that it's not as difficult as you put in your mind. And yeah, it feels good to be doing what you're doing.
Okay, so we're going to answer a phone call. We have 4 more, 7, 8, 9, 10. 4 more to go through. We only have about 8 minutes, so we'll have to take a quick phone call. But phones are blowing up, so we got to answer some of these. Who do we have on the line with us on the Power of Love show?
Hi, this is Tiffany in Texas. How are y'all?
Good, Tiffany. How are you doing?
Doing good.
What do you got for us, Tiffany?
I know the topic is about conquering fears, and while I have a whole truckload of fears myself that I could speak about, I want to speak about how a few of my friends have been able to overcome their fear in respect to you guys.
I love to hear that.
Because I know you have your radio show, and earlier you were talking about, in particular, Terrell, about how he was not as talkative before, and he's getting more talkative and, you know, contributing more. And a lot of my friends have been absolutely terrified to call in and are terrified of you for some reason. I keep telling all of them, you know, you're the nicest guys. It's like talking to your best friend. And I think what freaks them out a lot is I told them, because I called in on one of your very early, I think the first time you opened up phone lines is when I called years ago. And I was expecting a middleman, you know, somebody to hold the wire while you get in. And, you know, when I called in, there's TJ in my ear. Yeah. Who are we talking to?
Yeah.
And I almost came out my skin the first time. But, I mean, it's just like calling a best friend now, and a lot of them are freaked out about, well, what if I sound stupid? One was worried about her accent. And I'm just like, they take international calls all the time. I mean, you just took a call from Tyria, who's in France.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just like, you know, it's not a fear. I mean, once you do it, it's like riding a bike. You know, you fall off, you get back up, you dust yourself off, you're fine the next time. It's just...
Tiffany.
It's okay. I look forward to this. Yes?
As a friend, you got to somehow get them to call in. Encourage them. Do whatever you got. Because here's why. I think once they make that phone call in and they hang up, they'll feel really good. Regardless of what we say to them or whatever discussion we have, just the fact of them doing it, if they're really afraid of or fearful of doing it, they'll feel really good. And it's something that I think for some reason we don't talk about when it comes to facing your fear. We don't really talk about, we're so fixated on the result or what was done versus the feeling of what you get when you do something, you know? So I would maybe just encourage them to say, you're going to feel, forget what you're going to talk about, just you're going to feel better that you are able to do it.
Right. Know? Because so. my thing was, when I first called in, was, you know, I'm going to at least try, because I mean, you know, 100 years ago, I couldn't even get a hello out of y'all on MySpace.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago. But, you know, it's fine. And, you know, I'm talking to you guys the same way I talk to my best friend Ebony or to anybody else I know. So, and I even have people, like, today's Wednesday, tomorrow, somebody will come up to me and be like, did you talk to the Jacksons? Did you talk to the Jacksons? And I'm like, yeah. So,
yes.
And they just stare and don't understand, like, well, how do you do it? I mean, I have a background in public speaking, so it doesn't really bother me as much as it would probably, I guess, a normal person, but, you know, I understand where they're coming from.
And it's not just things like calling in a radio station. It's giving your best man speech. It's really just talking, you know, and how's my voice sound? What am I saying? Are they listening? There's so many mental games that go on when you speak. And that's why I think public speaking classes are so huge. And that's one of the classes that's Royal's requirement from his father, because I want him to be comfortable with his words and whenever he's talking. So
I got thrown out of a public speaking class.
Oh, that's a... I got it.
Okay, they said I didn't need it.
Why'd you get thrown out?
Shouldn't need it.
Because you didn't need it, huh? Okay.
No.
All right, Tiffany. Well, we got to let you go because we got to get through this list. But thank you for calling
us. I have good news. I'm very excited for the 9th. I'm going to see your father and uncles in Louisiana.
Cool.
So
nice.
I'm really excited about that.
Cool.
That's
going
to be great.
Tell them I say hello.
Yeah.
If I get to meet them, I will.
Okay, cool. Well, you have a good time, Tiffany. They put on
a
good show, so enjoy
it. Yeah, they do.
All right. Nice talking to you guys.
Thank
you. Have a nice day.
All right, take care. You too. All right. That's another good phone call. All right. So we got to get through this list. Number 7, 10 signs fear is running your life and how to get back on track. Number 7, you get paralyzed. When you're afraid, you avoid making the decisions your soul knows you must make. Your intuition tells you it's time to leave that toxic relationship or quit that soul-sucking job or set boundaries with your mother or go to rehab or speak up about the integrity breaches at work, but you're terrified of the uncertainty. Basically, you fear if you find yourself not acting on things you know you should be doing that are better, that's probably a sign that your fear is running your life. Number 8, you become a control freak. When you're afraid, you feel the need to micromanage everything. You mistakenly think you live in a hostile, random universe that's out to get you unless you grab the wheel with both hands and steer your life toward what you want. I used to be a bit guilty of this, I think, but not so bad. But any control freaks?
I think you're just not going with the flow. You know, you're trying, you're afraid of things happening beyond your control.
You're afraid of things being beyond your control. You're afraid of
not having control of everything. Because you don't know what situation you're going to be. So there's some fear in that. So in order to go against that, you try to control everything.
Well, there you go. All right. Number 9, you muzzle yourself. When fear is operating you, you avoid speaking up. You won't stand up for what you believe. You won't let your voice be heard when your integrity is being threatened. You won't tell people when they hurt your feelings. You'll be too afraid for what you really want. This is another sign. If someone's disrespecting you, if someone's doing something wrong to you and you cannot open up or say stop or I disagree with you here, fear is running your life. Last but not least, number 10, you get sick. Fear isn't just an uncomfortable emotion that holds you back from following your dreams. It also triggers stress responses in the body that put you at risk of disease and make it hard for the body to heal itself. Fearful people are more likely to get heart attacks, cancer, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, inflammatory disorders, chronic pain, and even the common cold. They're also more likely to experience milder symptoms such as insomnia, low energy, obesity. There's a whole bunch of things. Dizziness, headaches, whatever. Don't let fear control you. Obviously, some of these things isn't related to fear. So if you see yourself, you get dizzy a lot, it's like, oh, shoot, fear. Or, you know what I mean? Or some things that are just happen. Diabetes, that could not. But at the same time, if you're living a fearful life, you're putting yourself in a position of more likely getting these things.
That was right.
Okay. Sorry I had to run through those last four because time was running out, but I wanted to get to all those phone calls. I didn't manage this well. Maybe I'm still in France mentally, but I wanted to get through the 10. Royal, Terrell, you guys have anything else to say before we close?
No, I know we're out of time, but I think it's a great list. I think maybe we'll post it up somewhere and people can, because there's a little bit more that goes on to speak about. But I think it was a great topic, and I thank all the callers for calling in and helping and sharing. And we just got to keep living, everybody.
Yeah. And I think we have to do a show in the future about how you overcome and cure fear.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's going to come up. Ro, you got anything to say real quick?
No.
No. Okay. No. Royal Jackson, everyone. you can catch him many times. You know, just tune in. You'll hear some words of. But you did come up with some nice contribution.
Yeah, he did.
All right, that's it. We're going to close out the show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for supporting us. It really means a lot to us. We will be back next week. I believe we have a guest lined up, so it should be a great show. In the meantime, be safe. Enjoy your family. And we will see you next Wednesday at 1 p.m.
No more fear.
No more fear. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.